This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe, Free FM 89.0. Good afternoon to you. Hamilton is in a state of emergency at this present moment. We have an orange wind warning at this moment. It began at 9 a.m. this morning and will go through until 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. Waikato, Waitomo, Taupō and Tamaranui. Severe gale easterlies changing to severe gale westerly late afternoon or evening. That's tonight. Gusting 120 kilometres in exposed places. A low chance of upgrading to a red warning. The impact is damage to trees, power lines and unsecured structures possible. Driving may be difficult, especially for high-sided vehicles and motorcycles. Prepare your property by securing items that can only be picked up by strong winds. Drive cautiously. There's a heavy rain warning from 9 a.m. this morning through to 6 p.m. tonight. For the area of Waikato, periods of heavy rain and amounts may approach warning criteria. Moderate chance of upgrading to a warning. And the city forecast, rain with heavy falls easing to a few showers in the afternoon. Gale easterlies turning to gale westerlies late this afternoon, both gusting 100 kilometres an hour, will ease at night. Sunrise this morning at 6:41 a.m. and will sunset tonight at 5:50 p.m. We have a strong wind warning in place, it's an orange one, and we have a heavy rain watch in operation. As I said before, Hamilton is in a state of emergency at this present moment, and just follow the instructions if you have to evacuate from places like Raglan, Tauranga and other places, the Coromandel, Thames. Hello over in Thames, Coromandel, be prepared to evacuate if you have to, and we may lose power later in the afternoon. Has everything prepared? The warehouse was out of torches when I went in there this morning, so just be prepared for tonight. So make sure you got batteries for your radios and torches, etc., etc. I don't know about the internet, so just watch it for the rest of the day. We've got weather updates, sunset, sunrise, temperatures. Well, we've just given you that. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine, and column comment, history, births, deaths, events. April 12, New Zealand Hit Parade, chartorg.nz, 1981, World Affairs, Politics, Gary Schofield. Hopefully we'll hear from ships and oil and all that with Dwayne Porter and Trevor, hopefully before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Well, the older people of Frankton will be remembering August 25, 1948. Three were killed, many injuries, as a tornado tore through the Hamilton suburb. Houses were destroyed, there was one carried away, and of course the tornado went through the CBD into Hamilton East, and a house was uprooted, but luckily, nobody was injured. That is around 78 years ago in August 1948. Are you prepared for what's going to happen later in this afternoon as the storm gets through the country? Just be prepared, as I said when I was doing the weather forecast. Just follow instructions. The homeless are required, because we're in a state of emergency, to go to the night shelters. One's on Anglesey Street, there's one on Ross Trevor Street, and there's one in Hill Street, just down the road from where we're speaking. Under the state of emergency, homeless, go to the night shelters. They don't want you on the streets tonight. Watch the slides, watch other toys. Don't put your rubbish bins out, because they could be flying anywhere tonight. So just be careful out there, folks. We just want you to be safe. And we may lose power here at Free FM later in the afternoon, and you'll be hearing music and instructions from our transmitter site. Guys and girls, help your children and just read books. You may not have any power tonight. So be prepared for the rest of the day. I don't want you hurt. We don't want anybody dead. And so just take it easy out there this evening. And keep up date with Free FM 89.0. It's 1:15. That's a slip up. April 12, 2026. Today, 1986, the Hamilton suburb of Flagstaff, officially named as a suburb. In 1945, American President Franklin D. Roosevelt dies in office.
Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone.
1606 this day, Scotland and England adopt the Union Jack as their official flag. This day in 1954 that Bill Haley and the Comets record Rock Around the Clock, but we've got a bit of shaking, rattling and rolling.
Get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Well, roll my breakfast, cause I'm a hungry man. I said shake, rattle and roll. I said shake, rattle and roll. I said shake, rattle and roll. I said shake, rattle.
It was this day in 1965. The city of Mobile, Alabama, falls to the Union Army. And it was this day in 1919 in music. Orchestra leader, producer of Pat Boone and Walter Brennan and Dot Records, Billy Vaughan, born, dying 1993. This day in 1944, actor Ed O'Neill, Al Bundy, in Married with Children and Jay and Modern Family. He's 80 today, so let's remember the one and only Al Bundy and his dysfunctional family. The theme to Married with Children was this song from Frank Sinatra.
Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try, try, try to separate them. It's an illusion. Try, 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 and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other. Separate them, it's an illusion. Try, 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 and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one. You can't have one without the other.
Still seeing on reruns, yes. Ed O'Neill, Al Bundy is 80 today. And that is Love and Marriage. That is Frank Sinatra. Well, New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, history and music. June 25, 1981. It was the Springboks' most controversial tour of New Zealand. Yes, and of course, there were going to be battles between the police and authorities throughout the country. We all remember Rugby Park, Hamilton. And of course, the game was called off after authorities said there was a danger to everybody. That raised the roof with the rugby fans who'd come to watch some rugby. We remember for Keith. Keith Quinn was commentator that day, and he gave a description of what was going on Rugby Park with all the protesters. Well, the crowd became very, very angry when they were told it was safety reasons. The game was called off. John Minto hit with a beer can as he fled the pitch invasion. Well, that's of the day was Sharon O'Neill.
Maybe you don't know me, and maybe that's why you've hurt me. Words can cut so deep, they just get in the way. I thought you baby.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media, remembering 1981, the invasion of the pitch by protesters at Rugby Park before the Springbok Waikato game, 1981, all those years ago. We're also remembering today band leader, and also he conducted orchestras, he played the saxophone, his name was Billy Vaughan. Lovely music there from Billy Vaughan and his orchestra. It's called Morgan with an E. It's German. There are lyrics to that particular song. The other side of that particular 45 was a tune called One More Sunrise, which is a big hit for the one and only Bing Crosby. We are in a state of emergency in Hamilton, so just be warned. If you need to evacuate your homes, leave immediately. This is for the people of Waikato, all over Bay of Plenty, Coromandel, Thames, Cambridge, Te Awamutu. You leave when you're told to. State of emergency. And remember your civil defence warnings. It's 1 o'clock.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me home. We'll have some fun.
song recorded this day in 1954, Bill Haley and the Comets and Rock Around the Clock. We've been talking about Billy Vaughan and his orchestra. He also was a producer for Dot Records, and he also produced song from Pat Boone and three-time Academy Award winning actor, the one and only Walter Brennan.
I don't care for city life. Moved to town just to please my wife. Ain't allowed to whittle with my pocket knife. I want to go back to the farm. Can't wear overalls no more. Silly carpets all over the floor. Miss the boys at the general store. I want to go back to the farm. Sure miss fishing in old Mud Creek. Neighbors ain't friendly. They won't speak. Gotta take a bath at least once a week. Never had to do that in the farm. My, what I do to please a spouse. I was a man, now I feel like a mouse. Bathroom built right inside the house. Ain't like it was in the farm. Fancy restaurants, neon lights, women walking, round and tight. I even miss the chigabites I used to get in a farm. Supposed to be a life of ease. Well, guess I'm just a little hard to please. Mama don't fix them black-eyed peas like she done back in the farm. My, that wife of mine's a sight. Where's that girdle? Too darn tight. Gonna learn to play bridge tonight. She weren't like that on the farm. Don't get milk from cows no more. Comes in a bottle, right to the door. You know, I ain't had a good saddle sore since I left my home on the farm. I'm a little older, but a whole lot wiser. My wife calls me a cheap old miser. Missed that smell of fertilizer that we had back on the farm. She just jabbers on the phone, talking about what the neighbors own. She's gonna find herself alone, 'cause I'm heading back for the farm.
Yes, he won three Academy Awards. The late greats Walter Brennan and Back to the Farm, produced by the one and only Billy Vaughan. Shortly, we're going to play a bit from Hamilton Mayor Tim McIndoe. But first, Pat Boone, also produced by Billy Vaughan.
April love is for the very young. Every star's a wishing star that shines for you. April love is all the seven wonders. One little kiss can tell you this is true. Sometimes an April day will suddenly bring showers, rain to grow the flowers for her first bouquet. But April love can slip right through your fingers, so if she's the one, don't let her run away. Sometimes an April day will suddenly grow the flowers for her first bouquet. But April love can slip right through your fingers. So if she's the one, don't let her.
FM 89.0. Yeah, that guy's still alive today. It's Pat Boone. He's in his late 90s, and that is April Love. As promised, we're going to hear from Hamilton Mayor Tim McIndoe
later on this evening. As a result of this and the significant threat that the severe weather poses, a region-wide state of emergency has just been declared throughout the Waikato. This doesn't mean that something bad has already happened. It's about being prepared before the severe weather arrives. And it gives our civil defence crews the ability to act early and safely if the conditions change. A state of emergency doesn't mean that evacuations are happening now. Decisions on that sort of thing will be made based on local conditions and may vary from region to region. But it does mean that systems and support are ready if needed. Hamilton's response to the cyclone remains locally led. Our council teams are monitoring the weather closely, checking areas that are prone to flooding, and preparing our crews to respond if needed. So I want to thank all the council staff and the many volunteers who are stepping up to ensure that we are ready and prepared for Cyclone Vianu. We're very well served and have some professional people doing a great job for us.
Thank you, Tim McIndoe, Hamilton's mayor at 3 FM 89.0. Just those people along River Road, along the riverbank, Grantham Street. We don't know the state there at the moment. If you're listening to the show right at this moment, please give us a ring on our our line here, which is... just looking for the weather forecast. No, not the weather forecast, the phone number, 0508 893. That's 0508 893 7733. So, if you live along River Road, just please give us a call just to tell us what's happening on the on there at this present moment. Let's go back to 1970 and an album called Cosmos Factory. Who'll Stop the Rain? The Creedence Clearwater Revival at Free FM 89.0 from the album Cosmos Factory. Talking to my colleague Jimmy yesterday, you know Jimmy from here, and we're talking about surfers on Raglan. We don't know if we've got any surfers heading to Raglan today to go surfing in the conditions. Stay home. Don't go out there. It could be too dangerous and the rescue services will have to come and find you. So there's another warning. Don't go surfing at Raglan today. There's no time to go on a swing safari round town or round the beaches today. Just stay at home and follow the instructions. I'll read a weather forecast out after the first interview. Good afternoon, Mel.
Good afternoon, Bruce. Masterton is the main town in Wairarapa. Drive for about an hour to the east and we see a light that winks a warning not to go near, especially in weather like this. Castle Point Lighthouse. Now, if we draw a line between these two points, and we'll find a country school that opened in 1897, Whareama Primary Schools on the map, thriving with three school buses, three classrooms, a technical classroom, an office, and a room for the principal. Pupils have a tennis court, a cricket wicket, a net, and being about 20 kilometres from the coast at Riversdale Beach, they have their own school swimming pool to practice swimming and for fun in their own pool. It must be a paradise of a life down there. Rachel Eden, teacher assistant. How have your feelings been about teaching in the school where you are at Whareama, Rachel?
Whareama, it's a great school. It's a great community. Because I've been in the community for about 30 years, so our children both went to Whareama School. So I've seen it kind of, the role kind of fluctuate up and down over the years as
did you go to
roles do so.
Yes.
It's a great school, as I said, and it's a great community to be in. So, yeah.
Did you go to a school such as this as a child yourself?
No, I'm from the UK, I grew up in a large village that just had a primary school, so we went to secondary school in nearby towns. So, yeah, I've always been kind of country orientated as opposed to urban, so yeah.
It's a community surrounded by, what, farmland? Country folk?
Yeah, it's all mainly around Whareama, Tanui area. Well, Tanui, which is a nearby, other nearby community, which is about 15 minutes away, is gone more into forestry, but Whareama is still lots of sheep and beef. There's a few patches of forestry, but it's mainly sheep and beef.
Come haymaking and crop harvests, farming families traditionally gave each other a hand to get their task done. Does that go for the way that your school pupils work with each other when the curriculum covers projects beyond the classroom?
I think so, because being a three-class school, you've got the classes which lots of, the different year groups in, so you've got lots of Tuakana Taina relationships, so there's lots of modelling done by the older children, and especially in the class that I'm in, which is the year one and twos, you kind of look to the year twos to kind of model to the new entrants to kind of, how kind of school progresses, and that's how it goes on through the classes as well. Yep. So you've got the year eights, the big models, and the year seven and eights are the big role models for the rest of the children at school.
They used to call it nature studies when it's good weather outside. The chirping, to look around rocks to find and identify spiders, tadpoles, wasps, stick insects, deafened by crickets and cicadas. Masterton's the main town in Wairarapa. Drive for about an hour to the east, and we see that light winking at Castle Point. How is it taught these days, the nature studies or the modern equivalent of that?
Say again, sorry?
With nature studies, that used to be the term given to we of older generations.
Yeah.
And at school that involved that we would go out and identify spiders, tadpoles and all those other things that creep and crawl. Does that happen at your school?
It does. One of our senior the teacher who looks after the senior class, Di, she's very much into the science side and environmentally science, so she quite often takes the children down to Uriti, which is down at Homewood near Riversdale Way, and also down on Riversdale Beach, because they do like a katapo kind of search and a katapo count to see how many spiders they can find. So there's lots of links like that within the community as well. So, to do with that side as well.
Yeah. When school returns in a fortnight, there's one thing that children and teachers and staff are going to be talking about, and parents, is the storm. How are you going to handle this? Talking about what's coming later today.
Well, I mean, the kids at school, they've been through lots of things like this. I mean, that few weeks ago when we had the really bad winds, down at Homewood, where one of the school buses come from, I think the Homewood Road was pretty much closed on the Sunday or whatever day the winds came through, and with a lot of community help and, kind of people being on hand with chainsaws and stuff, the road, the Homewood Road kind of got cleared. And then, because the bus driver said one morning that, one of the farmers was in front because, the bus coming from there is quite a big bus, and she wasn't too sure if she was going to be able to squeeze through the branches that had been cut on either side. So she had people kind of in front, kind of directing the bus through, so it didn't kind of get scratched to pieces. Yep. So the kids at school, I mean, they're very resilient. They know, they've lived through the winds, and most of the farmers probably now have got generators or generators that get shared around within the community, and people kind of look out for each other, because there's another organisation in the area, which is the Kitchen Fairies, and they started up a few years ago, and they provide like meals or Morning Teas and during that cyclone that few years ago, they were on hand to kind of go and, you know, take Morning Tea to farmers who were kind of coping with broken fences and you know, tracks that are being wiped out.
Yeah.
So the Kitchen Fairies, because one of our parents is one of the kind of organisers, well, I think there's a couple of parents who kind of organise the Kitchen Fairies and, you know, help provide that food and support, you know, kind of, I mean, having Morning Tea provided or having a meal is just part of that wraparound kind of comfort.
Is your
I think, as I said before, I think our kids are at school are probably getting fairly resilient to the, you know, the freak kind of forces of of nature that happened with the winds and the rains and the floods. So because it's becoming much more commonplace.
Is your school open today as a civil defence centre, as we under New Zealand is mostly under a civil emergency at right at this present moment? Is your school open as a centre so people can go along to your school?
No, because there is the down the road from the school, probably about 200 yards down the road, is the hall.
Yep.
That's not open, but that has got a defib there as well. And also over at Tanui, which is 15 minutes away, they've got one of the evacuation pods that SENS have kind of, you know, given to rural communities, which contain blankets and generators and games and all sorts of other kind of stuff as well. Because, yeah, but I think in times of emergencies in rural areas, the communities, as I say, kind of come together and they look out for each other.
Yep. Good stuff.
Well, Whakaaro had the advantage of joining with hundreds of other schools, as you say, in a charitable scheme set up to teach tamariki to grow all those good things, the harvest and prepare and share their own fresh food. That's been called the scheme Garden to Table. Rachel, is it working out well?
It is working out very well. Garden to Table, I mean, it's a charity organisation, so it's up to schools to kind of take part. And I mean, but they do provide a lot, because there's a website which you can access, which has got different recipes and different ideas and stuff for the for people to take on board and as back to how to run your program. I mean, it's all about getting the children to plant, you know, plant stuff in the garden, watch it grow, harvest it, and then take part in cooking and then sharing the kai at the end of the session. So basically the whole school, we do, I mean, the two older classes do it regularly, and every other week each class has an opportunity to take part and do it, and the class is split into groups of two, into half. So then half the class goes out into the garden with one of the teachers and, you know, kind of weeds or plants or whatever, and then the other half are in our tech room and either cooking up one or two recipes, depending on the number of children that there are kind of cooking.
Yep.
Normally, I have about three recipes going on. Like something simple, like the other day we made simple plain crackers, and then they made a hummus as well. And then I think the other group made some muffins. Yep. So it's about using the kai that we've got in the garden. And at this time of the year, I mean, this last term, we've been doing lots of freezing the food that's available, like the apples from the garden and pears and other kind of soft fruit, which then can then be used later on in the year for crumbles or for making smoothies or stuff like that. So, and also we've been making fruit straps as well. We've got a dehydrator which the school bought probably quite a few years ago, and then we just kind of make the fruit straps, and then the kids buy buy fruit straps for 50 cents. So the money gets turned back around and goes back into garden to table for buying stuff, you know, like seeds or more compost or stuff. Because some schools are further ahead, and I think each school, you know, does what they can, the ones who are involved, and some are more, you know, really in, you know, more prior to proactive, and they're doing the compost and other stuff like that, whereas some schools are still at early stages. And I think Froyama's probably middle of the road. We're starting to kind of do more of our own compost and getting the kids to be aware that, yeah, you put the food, you know, we put the scraps into the compost bin, and then it can get recycled and put back into the garden for nutrients, you know, to replace nutrients in the garden. So it's kind of, I think, you know, it's whatever each school kind of can put into it, and what time and effort the people around can put into it as well.
Yeah, sorry, we've got to leave it right at this moment because we've got further interviews. But
okay.
Hey, may your community be safe in the next few hours. And I'm just about to give the weather forecast again for the Waikato, et cetera, et cetera. So, batten down.
Yeah, and you.
We were lucky to get you on the phone today.
Yeah, no, that's all good. Hopefully you don't get too rained out, and it carries on just, you know, hopefully it doesn't eventuate too much.
We will talk to you again one of these days.
Thank you, Rachel.
Okay, all right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. From Masterton down in the Wairarapa. Right, let's go through this forecast again. We've got a strong wind warning, orange period from 9 a.m. through to 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. Area Waikato, Waitomo, Taupō and Tamaranui. Severe gale easterlies changing to severe gale westerly late afternoon or evening Sunday. Gusting 120 kilometres an hour in exposed places. A low chance of upgrading to a red warning. The impact is damage to trees, power lines and unsecured structures possible. Driving may be difficult, especially for high-sided vehicles and motorcycles. Prepare your property by securing items that can be picked up by strong winds, which namely is children's slides, toys on the lawn, etc., etc. Swimming pools, those old plastic swimming pools, please empty them and take them inside. The heavy rain watch is for the period 9 hours from 9 a.m. This morning to 6 p.m. this Sunday. For the Waikato, periods of heavy rain and amounts may approach warning criteria, moderate chance of upgrading to a warning. So that is the forecast we're in at the moment. A strong wind warning, which is orange, and we've got the heavy rain watch at the moment. The next few hours will be interesting, Mel.
I'll say.
Right now, we'll play another song about some wind. Bob Dylan, 1964.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Kind of misled you. That song by Bob Dylan, Blowing on the Wind, came from 1962. Mel, next guest.
He looked the part as a United States vice president should, stepping into the cauldron of continuing Middle East peace talks and politics. It's easy to oversimplify. The rising world leader, J.D. Vance, is cooking up a 15-point plan for the lasting peace with Iran. Soon enough, we'll know how palatable the meal proved for the Muslim tastes. What's your guess? Gary Schofield.
You're there, Gary. Oh, you're there, Gary.
Keeping the show going in the middle of a cyclone, that's to be commended before we start.
Oh, sorry about that. A cyclone hasn't arrived yet, but I'm trying to find songs. I've already played Who'll Stop the Rain by CCR, and I've just played Blown on the Wind by the great
Blowing
Bob Dylan.
Blowing in the Wind, you are a hurricane. You are like a hurricane. That's another good one. However, on to world politics, very important. Yes, we have the possibility of a deal, and I'm going to step outside my usual dispassionate commentary and make a prediction that this will be a success. This is kind of contrary to the general feeling about this, but here is why I think it could be a success. First, there is J.D. Vance doing it. He is the, future president, possibly, and he's also the one that has been so outspoken, and I can quote him saying that the attack is a terrible idea in the first place. So he was one of those people that stepped out in the quiet of behind the scenes and said his own opinion was that it was a terrible idea to attack Iran. So he now has, and as the president, has great incentive for making this deal possible, for coming to an agreement. And I might suggest a way that they do that, because it is all about perception in this world, in politics, it would seem. And if Iran were to hand over that enriched uranium, that could be seen and used as a fig leaf by the administration to declare a total victory in that regard. And so I see that as a possibility. Also, they've just ceased for the day, but they're carrying on later into their night. That means it's a genuine attempt to do that. And don't forget, there hasn't been a discussion like this face-to-face, Iran and the United States, since the 70s. So a lot has happened in that time, and it opens the door to possibilities, I think.
America's earlier invitation to Iran to engage in peace talks had been ignored. So the undeclared war went on regardless. Bombs, bullets taking disproportionate toll on Iranian life. Iran has developed a peace plan of its own with only 12 points to ponder. How's it going to work out trying to bring two plans like that to coincide?
Nothing to it. As a matter of fact, that's the way that all wars are ended. Everybody has ridiculous and unreasonable demands. They have a set of goals that they will never go back on, and then you come to an agreement. This is the nature of diplomacy. It's the nature of solution to conflict. And I'm not saying for certain that we're going to have a solution. The important is going to be opening the strait and having the world return to its economic stability. But I see that there are possibilities for it.
Mm-hmm. With your diplomatic skills, Gary, was Lebanon part of the original deal? Because I've heard so many stories. And, of course, then Benjamin Netanyahu went and bombed Lebanon.
Well, yes, you bring up a point that I must say a lot of these commentators need to discuss the elephant in the room, and the elephant is Israel. So, yes, any agreement that you're going to have, if the United States is latched firmly onto Israel's objectives and its point of view and its perception, and, well, J.D. Vance is another reason why that might not be the case. So I think that if there is a trade-off and they end that conflict in Lebanon, which is another brutal conflict that the world, I believe, could do without, then that is also opens the door to a better, broader settlement. Mm-hmm. Quite right.
So this is a crucial juncture, Gary, with these rival peace plans. Yes, and the invitation to Islamabad, capital of Pakistan, is the first face-to-face negotiation, you say, between the belligerents since back in the 1970s.
Yes, 79. And, of course, there was the hostage crisis and everything in those time periods.
46 years ago. Were you there?
Well, no, I was very small. I was young at the time.
We won't ask you your age.
I remember it all. We all, you know, with our history, we've lived through this. We lived through the Soviet Union. We lived through all those experiences that have shaped our outlook and our possibilities of what we can do today.
The other thing that annoyed me during this week, our Minister of War, he says, Pete Hesketh, he said, we've killed the Supreme Leader. Then he went down the list of who else he has killed. Is it time for him to just button it?
Well, I was wondering when you were going to bring up all the subtler points of politics, and I tend to agree. So when you're dealing with conflict, it requires some sobriety. When you're killing people on such a level, it would be, I think, detrimental to any cause to use the phrase and the language. And of course, Hesketh has also involved God, which, you know, the United States does do that in its talk and its speeches, but he's got a different approach that does undermine, in my view, the importance of having a quiet, calm arrangement for this conflict.
Coming home to the US now, Winston Peters has been in the United States.
And just before we come home, I just wanted to fit in another very quick one for the side with J.D. Vance also, and I want to bring in Winston Peters here too. So J.D. Vance went over there to Viktor Orban. Remember, we've got this great big election and very important to Europe because Hungary has been the thorn in the side of a lot of Europeans. They need unanimity and Hungary tends to favor not assisting Ukraine on such a scale. So they've been trying to get rid of him. And here we've got Vance going over there and speaking for him and electioneering for him. Now, this has kind of slipped through the news, but in reality, how would we feel if Trump came over here or Vance came over here and said, we all have to vote for Luxon? You know, this is like interfering in an election. Remember that we had all Russiagate. Yeah. We had the appalling nature of doing that. And Winston Peters, I'm sure, would have something to say if that happened. So it really breaches a standard unwritten contract that countries have with each other not to do that. So yes, we're opening new doors in that regard. Carry on with your point closer to home.
Well, why I'm mentioning Winston Peters, he's been in the United States to talk to Mario Rubio. And, sorry, is it Mario or Marco? Mario or something like that. Anyway.
Marco.
Yeah, there was a AI picture of Winston meeting the president, which is not true because guess what? Again, Pete Winston was caught up in a motorcade. It's not the first time he's been caught up in a motorcade when he was due to meet Donald Trump.
Yes, but the AI was to fool people. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And it was presenting something that did not occur.
Yep.
And we have to be very careful which news we listen to and really guard against that very powerful nature of AI and what it can do.
And, of course, I hope Winston's property up north hasn't been hit too much. He'll come home. Hopefully his property is safe and when he does return to New Zealand.
Yes. And I was also waiting for you to cite the 25th Amendment.
Oh, I've seen. We're going to talk about that more next week because we're running out of time. Yeah, no, I've seen all the proposals this week, and there's also accusations against some top Democrats coming out this week on. Boy, you politicians, we've had scandals in the White House for years and years and years, and. What's it with these American politicians?
Certainly, we can discuss that next week. I just wanted to say a very quick personal note. You remember my father, and he has now turned 98, so he's in his 99th year, and he wishes you both the very best.
Oh, look, hey, bring him in one day, and we'll have a chat to him.
I will. I've got to get him away from dancing at his club to do that, but I will do that.
Anyway.
Still dancing at 98.
Hey, anyway.
What bad is it?
We will talk to you again next week, mate.
Yes, indeed. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. It is 16 minutes to two. We've been remembering Billy Vaughan today, and he was a guy that produced such people as Pat Boone and this guy. The late Walter Brennan, three-time Academy Award-winning actor.
In the Arizona desert stands a giant of earth and stone, mighty Superstition Mountain, with its mystery and its gold. A miner out prospecting found his fortune and his fame, found the gold of Superstition. Just plain Dutchman was his name.
Old the Dutchman was a gambler, and the party was his fun. But he kept his precious secret, never trusting anyone. And in death he still is laughing, for the grave his secret holds. And the mighty Superstition keeps the Dutchman's yellow gold, yellow gold.
Mighty Superstition Mountain, standing high and all alone. Once you told your precious secrets, and you gave your soft, pure gold.
There we are, the late, great Walter Brennan, three-time award-winning actor. He won some three Academy Awards for his movies, and that is him with Billy Vaughan and his orchestra and Dutchman's Gold. Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Good afternoon, troops.
How's it going?
Very, very good, and I guarantee all the wolves are pretty well busy at the moment.
Yep.
There's the with the petrol price and with the petrol and the oil refinery and that. At the moment, we've got six boats coming in, all up, one's coming in. Well, there's five coming in April, and we've got one coming in May. So with the petrol, that's going between. Tell you the first. It's amazing how they actually got this. The first boatload of petrol that came from Japan. She's left the port of Tauranga last night, and she's on her way over to Singapore to pick up another load, and then they're going to turn that load straight back in towards Wellington and Nelson.
It seems interesting that with what's going to happen later today, that a lot of ships will be at anchor out in the harbour. They will be ordered to stay put because of the high seas that are expected later in the day. So
yeah, but what I'm saying is I just got a confirmation back from one from the Port of Tauranga that they are trying to get the log boats to do out because there's another eight arriving in and there's not much room. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the stuff between their port and also Pōtitarama.
Sounds like it's going to be a hard ride on that ship vessel when it leaves in the face of the approaching cyclone.
Yes, it will be.
Let's talk about the price of petrol today. What's the price of petrol today at the pumps?
About $3.73.
It's gone up and down all week. I did show you earlier in the week some of the prices of petrol at various petrol stations around. So it's... maybe if you go shopping in one of the supermarkets, you might get some cheap petrol this afternoon.
Well, you're looking at that pack and save. Mill Street was about $3.68 for petrol, and the diesel's around about the $3.90 mark. And the diesel price is going to go up, you know. But, yep. You know, you look at so many of the other super stations, even I can tell you, even that in Auckland, it's amazing how much people decide to go along. Even one guy got caught for swiping out 70,000 litres of diesel out of a big tank in Auckland.
I did read that story somewhere, Melton.
Yes, the shipping then is getting distorted in its modelling to fit the circumstances, which are unusual, aren't they?
Yes, it is. And it's happened at every single other port as well. All the other ports are getting the same.
So when we see that on the 15th of this month, that's not far ahead,
yep.
We've got petrol boats arriving.
Yep.
Where are they? Are they the ones that were on the water in the Middle East?
Yep.
And have come here, arrived. But the question is, where do they get their next load?
They will unload that lot and then they will go down towards Japan or Singapore to pick up the next load.
And some go elsewhere around our coast, like the Amasia was here, but due in Nelson, and then going to sea.
Yep.
And so you can see the trends changing. They have to.
Yes, you do actually, because what is the confirmation is with the ports and the other ports is that the boats that go from one port to another port is they've got to have enough room to fit the oil, like the petrol and everything in there before the next petrol boat arrive in. What they're trying to do is there's going to be a petrol boat arriving on the 21st. She's coming in. And then she'll be unloading, and then there'll be another one coming in right behind her as well. So that's why they got so much coming in, and then they divert it straight over towards Nelson, Wellington. But I can tell you that I will keep up to date with you fellas about it. You know, I'm doing my research at the moment, but I can tell you my research for this month was 67 container ships between April and May, one timber boat in April. Between April and May, we've got 8 more log boats arriving in. So on top of that, it's going to be pretty well good.
We'll have more next week here at Free FM. Around 10:50 this morning on my way into town, I had a discussion with my bus driver. This is me on the university to town bus early this morning.
Oh, that dog's there. I love it.
Lamp box.
Yeah. People wandering around Boys High at the moment.
That was me on the bus this morning with talking to the bus driver coming into town. I got his permission to video us and we came into town. And that is, we're just on Peach Grove Road. Talk to Trevor shortly.
Me. Hey, window pane, do you?
Precious Wilson and Eruption. I Can't Stand the Rain from 1978. Trevor can't stand the rain. Good afternoon, sir.
No, the trouble with the rain is if you go outside, you get wet. I think a lot of people will find that as well.
Are you geared up for the night? Because you've got to have your torches, because your power might go off.
Yep.
Candles? No Coronation Street?
No, it's not on, luckily. Hopefully I get it repaired by 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's when it's on.
Yeah, just take it easy, my friend, and look after yourself for the rest of the night.
I won't get flooded out because I'm too high up.
Yeah.
It's one advantage.
Trevor's talk.
Thank you, Mal. I'm looking at the news over in America. They've sent a rocket up to the moon and circled it and brought it back safely to Earth. I thought to myself, what's this obsession with the moon? 1969, the first man to walk on the moon walked on the moon, Neil Armstrong. They've been up there several times since then. I don't know what the fascination is. It's not a living planet. It's just a rock in space. I think it'd be better if they used that money to look after the most beautiful planet in the universe, planet Earth. How they can find a clean form of energy, put all the scientists and their money to that effect, and so there's no fuel dependencies on petrol. And that, I think that everyone would be a lot better off, because there's no way we'll ever get to another planet like Earth. The space is just too vast. But it's hard to get that message across to the right people.
When we were young, our lives were filled with comic books that portrayed what later became Star Wars-type scenarios.
Oh, yes.
It was speculation on how it would be to actually be in space as humans. Do you think the real situation has worked out as far-fetched as it seemed to be?
I think it will be, because I used to watch those Star Trek movies, TV series as well. They went going back a while since that started. But the fact is, space is so vast. The nearest solar system to Earth is 4 light years away. Light travels around the world 7 times in 1 second. That's how fast it is. We'll never be able to survive a distance that far and come back, even if there was a life-supporting planet in the next solar system.
Yes, we're going to Mars next, according to the president of the USA.
That's another waste of money too, because...
Yeah, I saw the pictures by our... When are those astronauts meant to be touching down?
They've come back, haven't they?
Yeah, they're on their way home, aren't they?
Unless the conspiracy people think something different. They looked pretty much earthbound.
They were having a bit of fun too. It's 5 minutes to 2. Just before we go, we're still in a state of emergency in Hamilton. We heard earlier from the Mayor of Hamilton, Tim McIndoe, and just watch it yourself as the afternoon wears on into the night. People on River Road, just watch yourselves, because you are right by the Waikato River.
Particularly Ann Street.
Yes.
It's right on the waterfront.
And Grantham Street. The homeless, right, the rough sleepers, you are asked to go to the night shelters because the people do not want. And please obey all the rules of the police and other civil emergency people out there this afternoon and tonight. So, yep, that's it for today. We'll see you hopefully next Sunday. And have a good day. Take you out with the Fifth Dimension, the Rainmaker.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.